from stpetecatalyst.com.
Hey, I'm Bill DeYoung, and this is the Catalyst Sessions. Say hello to my friend Katie Talbert there.
Hey, Billy guys.
She's running around like the headless chicken that she sometimes is. Katie is getting ready for a band to show up. She is the person responsible for Downtown St. Pete Live Saved by Streaming, which started in March as a sort of an arts band-aid during the time of COVID, kind of like the Catalyst Sessions, really. And mm-hmm. Look at this. You and I, we're still doing this stuff.
You know? I know. Great.
So explain to people who are kind of unfamiliar, this is your home. This is where you do this. How many days a week?
Honestly, it depends. I had 5 this week. I was doing it almost every single day, 7 days a week for the first couple months. But then, you know, it just got to be one subscription after the other got to be extremely expensive in ways I didn't anticipate. And then I, you know, was trying to, you know, after 4 months of not working, trying to pick up what little gigs I could. I have one weekly gig right now, one weekly residency on Friday night. So I literally have to work on that night.
As a performer, you mean?
Mm-hmm, yeah. As a musician.
Yeah.
So I have to work that night. Sundays, you know, it depends. I mean, it's been raining so much, I haven't really even been working. So it's kind of been a bummer. But, you know, whenever I can get a gig, I have to take a gig. So that's kind of, halted it to more like 4 days a week. I'm trying to do every Monday through Thursday right now, just consistently, because there's really not that much work during the week anywhere. So the weekends I'm trying to free up for even just the opportunity if it presents itself.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you got to do that. Well, you were one of the first people. I don't think you were the first, but certainly one of the first people, well, in St. Petersburg to see live streaming as something that would, you know, keep live music, not only the musicians kind of working and doing what they do, but keep it in our minds and hearts and keep it viable, keep it live. This was in March. You started doing this from your home. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2 days after the bars closed was my first stream. So,
well, tell us, I want to get into the equipment in a minute because I've seen the setup there, yeah, and I hope you'll show it to us on the show. But why? I mean, I know your booking agent, your company is Tampa Bay Live, if I am not mistaken.
Yeah.
So you have lots of musician friends who were mm-hmm. thrown out of work when this happened. You didn't have to step up and open your house and your cameras and your mixing board and all this stuff you have. Why did you want to do it?
Honestly, like, it was kind of scary not knowing what was happening, not really expecting that to happen at all. I mean, I felt like I hadn't even really heard about, you know, coronavirus that much. I don't know if maybe I'm out of touch, but I didn't expect everything to shut down like then, especially the way that it did. So it was more of an instinctual, like, survival kind of reaction, I suppose. I had to make, you know, one bar after the other, one venue after the other was just calling, like the owners would call me and we were shut down, and then we were shut down, and I found out, you know, one after the other, and it was like, I mean, I didn't, and without knowing how long it was going to be shut down. Yeah. And I had so many, you know, I had to make easily 80 phone calls to cancel probably 150 plus dates, just that I knew for sure we wouldn't be back. You know, and I don't know, it was 2 weeks before, you know, it was halfway through the month, and a lot of my guys were just really upset. And I think maybe they even knew more than I did how, like, potentially devastating it could be and crippling it could be for the long term. So
people had to pay rent, have to buy groceries.
Yeah, when you hear people kind of like crying, you know, on the phone and stuff, and like, how am I going to pay rent? Like, how am I going to do this? Like, you know, I don't have kids. I don't have roommates. I don't have family here. Mm-hmm. So I felt like, you know, obviously it was kind of unknown what was safe or what was not. But at the end of the day, I wasn't going to put anybody else in danger, I suppose, but myself. And I felt like, and I didn't really know. So that was just an instinct. I mean, I bought a lot of the gear that I bought that night, because I was like, well, I guess I might as well buy this stuff while I have money, because I might not soon.
In other words, I'm going to be here for a while. Let me equip myself with this thing I want to do.
Absolutely. I mean, I felt like it was just it's a Band-Aid, you know, on the problem, but at least it would, I don't know, I'm like, you know, people have different coping mechanisms, I suppose, with the way that they handle trauma or crisis. Mm-hmm. And for me, I mean, I just lost like 30 plus jobs in a single day. So, and I have kind of gauged, I think, a lot of my self-worth on my work for so long, because it's so much of who I am, that I think I just dove straight into, how can I help and what can I do to stay busy?
Well, let's make it clear for, you know, I always say the folks at home, but those of you who are watching this, if you don't know how this works, Katie does this out of the goodness of her heart for free. And I know you have a sponsor now, and that's something I want to talk about. But since in March, it was basically, you know, if you have a virtual tip jar, come in and I'll shoot you. She has this amazing equipment, which has gotten better over the months too. I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so come on over here and you can broadcast, you can play your music for an hour live. In the beginning it was 5 days a week. You can bring money in, you don't have to pay me. That's the part I never understood.
No one does.
You didn't monetize this and certainly in the beginning it was like, yeah, just come over, I want to help.
Yeah. And
did people say, hey Katie, are you nuts?
Yeah, all the time.
You're not working yourself, man.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that I've started a lot of businesses. I mean, I'm 32 years old. I've worked for myself since I started working as a teenager. So I've never really worked for anyone else. And I've done a lot of work for free for a lot of years. I mean, I started my nonprofit in 2011 when I moved here. I mean, I did all that work for free for years and years and years. And it was very emotionally rewarding. And it was very difficult to fundraise. I've been really bad at that. I worked bookings for free for a long time just to get the jobs, you know, and now it's like, because just to get my foot in the door for a lot of those things, it was, you know, and at that time it was like, try to build a business. This time it was like, just what can I do? And then, you know, I always had the goal, never wanted to charge the artist for content. Like I had been doing video and photo and graphic work for artists before this for money. But when the artists don't have money, I knew that was going to be cut off. So I always had the goal in mind to figure out a way to monetize it. It just wasn't the like purpose of why I started it. I knew that it would be something that if I stuck it out and if I really, you know, utilized all of the skills that I've in the network that I've built over 10 years of being here, that it would have the potential to be monetized down the road. So it's a lot. It's been like, you know, 4 months of working for free, but and like every day, like hours a day. But
how many of these have you done now?
Tonight's, I think, 97.
Today is 97.
Uh-huh.
There's a band coming in today, right? It's Holly Glenn. Is that what they're
Holly
called?
Glenn? Yeah,
Holly
they're great.
Glenn. Yeah. They've been in before, right? And this isn't the
No, these guys, I actually, I know Nathan through mutual friends. His brother is actually in the industry. He is friends with a couple of my friends. They've toured together. So I know Nathan that way. And he and I had been talking about shooting videos before this. And then I had Justin, another guy, reach out to me in the band who works with Casey Allen. And Casey Allen has mm-hmm. been here. So, and I've worked with Casey Allen for, you know, 8 years. So it was kind of just mutual friends. I saw them play at the Benz, you know, before all this happened, and I thought they were great. And so, at the first couple of months, I was only bringing in artists that were on my consistent roster that I was booking, because I wanted to offer, you know, a lot of them depend on the income that I provide them. So it's like, I wanted to offer it to them first, but now this thing has kind of grown a little bit further than what I could have potentially anticipated in such a quick time, so which I'm super grateful for. And now it's, you know, I've got so many random artists reaching out to me, but it's been really cool because, you know, big picture, I think it's a blessing and a curse. It's I'm putting my entire roster on the internet, so a lot of people that I've been working with for years, I think I'm putting myself out of the booking business, because I have people constantly telling me like, oh, I had so and so reach out because they saw me on DTSP Live, and now I have a weekly gig there. Now I have this, you know, because a lot of venues, I think, are restaurants, since there are no venues open, I think a lot of restaurants are going to just, like, you know, kind of take the contacts and directly reach out to the artist to kind of bypass.
So in a way, you shot yourself in the foot by being a good
Samaritan. I shot myself in the foot with that, but I also, it doesn't matter, because that was, you know, to me, I'm so happy if the guys even get jobs right now. I don't care. So it doesn't matter.
You mentioned that you started out with solo artists, with, you know, mm-hmm. a guy or a woman, or I guess just one at a time, with, you know, with an acoustic guitar or piano. And is that because that was what you knew, or was it just technologically?
Yeah, space, you know, space, time.
Oh, space, yeah, it's your house, right.
Yeah, well, but also time. Like, I didn't know how to live stream when this started. I knew how to shoot video. I didn't even use the cameras. You know, I have a handful of DSLRs and really nice cameras because I know how to use my cameras, but I never knew how to do anything live. I would shoot live video in the same room where we would record, you know, through my actual interface, like individual channels. We'd do like, and I'd hire an audio engineer because I didn't really do audio. So I would shoot the videos, but I would, you know, they'd do playbacks. Like, we'd shoot it like a music video. So like they'd take one true audio take, and then we'd go back and I'd get like three or four different shot types on three or four different cameras, and then I'd go in post-production and edit them down, and it was a totally different, safer process. I'd never done anything like live broadcast, so learning how to live broadcast and learning it in real time while doing it in front of like a lot of people, because we were utilizing the networks of, you know, our promotional sponsors like Janice Live and Floridian Social Club and Ruby's Elixir. So there was a lot of people you know, that I built relationships with, that I asked for help, and all of them were super eager to help. And that just put my learning process on like, you know, blast, if you want to call it that, because people were watching.
You learned on the job is what it is.
Yeah, I learned on the job. It was hard. But I learned, you know, I had to teach myself audio. I knew that there was no way I was going to find somebody that was going to donate their time while in panic mode. I'd ask people. I've asked multiple people, and a lot of people were like, well, so what am I going to make? And I'm like, I don't make anything, so I don't know what to tell you, you know? So I just was like, well, I got tired of asking, and I just was like, I guess I'll learn it myself. So I was learning live broadcast and audio, and I'm still learning audio. I still blow it a lot. But it's
amazing what you do. Before I forget,
go ahead.
Because you have bands now. I mean,
I do.
You've kind of expanded the whole thing. Did you think, as with Holly Glenn that's coming in today, did you ever think back in March, did you sort of think, yeah, it's going to be a couple of weeks, I'll help out some buds? But I mean, here we are 4 months later, and you're going harder than ever.
Yeah, to be honest, I told the artist that, you know, I said the one thing, you know, a lot of my really close friends, and maybe this is not good to say, but I don't care anymore, you know. So I think in the beginning.
Neither do I.
I think in the beginning, yeah, I mean, like when you don't work for anybody, you're just like, well, whatever.
Yeah, no, I get that, yeah.
So I already lost everything. So, you know, the one thing I could count on was that people are dumb and not very considerate a lot of times, I think. I think people don't want to see things for what they really are. I think people, you know, just in general, the one thing I could count on was that when we reopened, there was a good chance we were going to shut down again. So I expected to reopen sooner than what we did in the first place. I thought we would only be out for maybe like a month. And then I expected to stay open for even longer. I literally had given like actual predictions to some of my artists. I was like, I bet you by August we'll be shut down again. Oh, I didn't expect that we would only be open for 2 weeks. I expected that we would do better than that.
That's the nature of this whole thing. It's totally unpredictable.
It's totally unpredictable, and it doesn't make sense. You know, a lot of it, it's like, it doesn't make sense that certain things can be open and other things can't. It, you know, it's crippling to so many people, and it's really devastating. And you know, I think it's scary, and I understand it, and I do believe, you know, but people, it's not about, you know, masks or this or that. Everyone wants to make everything political, and it's not about that. It's like, if you don't follow the rules, things, places are going to get shut down. So, you know, whether it works or not is irrelevant in terms of like the way that people are handling it. They just, you know, people have their opinions, and then they choose to just do whatever they want. And then the people that pay for it are the staff, the owners of these venues, the owners of the restaurants that get shut down, the people that are actually like being genuinely devastated financially, and not the people that are just trying to make whatever point they're trying to make by doing whatever they want to do, you know. Amen. And that's it's really crippling. And I think people don't understand that. And that's what's really frustrating is it's not, you know, if you don't, it's like, I know compliance is, you know, call me a sheep, but I just think, I just want to work, you know, and I think my guys want to work, and it's really hard. And I know that people will always make it about something that it's not, and or that maybe it is about all these other things. But what it really comes down to for us is we just want to work. We just want to get back to work, and we can't. And we can't if people are going to be this way. And you can always count on people to be divisive on issues like this, which is super unfortunate. And I knew that from the beginning. I knew from the beginning that that was going to be a very likely scenario. So yeah. I did anticipate that much. I did anticipate people just not caring about people like myself or the musicians.
Well,
so,
I think as far as those of us who not only love music, but I think need music, you know, I think that people such as yourself are really providing a service in this time. And whether you see yourself as selfless is irrelevant to me, because I think you are. I want to touch on the idea quickly of money, because you don't charge people for this. And nope. They do make tips yep. sometimes. I assume every time people, you know, donate and stuff.
Yeah,
but you
donate
before, sometimes. And I don't think this is any state secret, that sometimes the bands or the artists will like slip you some. Hey, thanks.
Absolutely.
So you've made a few bucks. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you know, I've had artists offer that I know didn't do it that well, and I won't take it. I've had artists that do really, really well, not offer a dollar. I've had artists, you know, split it with me. I've had artists like Christopher James came in and the only stipulation he had to come in was that all the money was going to be donated to me. Wow. To continue to help, because he has a full-time job. Mercy McCoy did the same thing, you know, and I wasn't in a position to turn it down, because if yeah. they have a job, that's a different scenario. But, it, you know, it's all been, you know, it's changed. And like now I won't accept a dollar from an artist, because I've been trying to pull sponsors. And that was kind of the goal. The one thing I would ask the artist to do, aside from money, which I considered to be financially valuable for the long term, was I have all the artists come in and basically, and not all of them have done it, but almost all of them have done it, where there's a way to activate the page where you can invite your network, you know, to like the page or whatever. So yeah. I have all the artists do that, because I knew that by doing that, I would be able to create an organic, locally built network based on people who were all musicians. It's all musicians, you know, collective networks, friends, family, fans. And I knew that that would make it so that the people would actually be engaging with the content. And oh, yeah. I didn't have money to be paying for ad space or, you know, likes or views. Like, we just didn't have money for that. So I knew that if I could encourage the artists to help spread the word about what we were doing, and if I was doing that service for them, that they would be more inclined to do that, because of the fact that, you know, I wasn't charging them. I think sometimes people put too much emphasis on money whenever it's not that it's not important. It's just that the way to get people to take care of you is to take care of people. And then the money comes because of that. So it's like, if I had done this differently, I don't think that I would be in the position that I'm in to be picking up sponsors. I don't think we would have gotten the media support. I don't think I could have helped as many people as I did, you know, because people wouldn't have been as eager to be a part of the project. So at the end of the day, even though, you know, it was like, I mean, it was hard. I was like battling a lot of depression. Like, I could cry thinking about it. Like, it was a very like difficult time, but that was the one time of my day that I felt good and put on real pants and got up and like did a thing,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And it was helping people. So like that is worth way more. All of that is worth way more than any dollar amount that I could have charged them.
You have a sponsor now. Who is that? I mean, you want to give them a shout out?
Oh yeah. I got a couple sponsors. So we got White Claw now on board.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So on Monday nights, the St. Petersburg Distillery, which I actually have a bunch of their hand sanitizer over there, and booze products, and you know, so St. Pete Distillery sponsoring Monday nights. We had the Coast Brothers sponsoring on Tuesday nights. I found out yesterday that they no longer want to be a part of the project. I'm not really sure why. Wednesdays we've got White Claw. but I think I'm going to be picking up, oh, I think that's the band. We're going to be picking up a couple of others that I can't really name yet because they're pretty big brands. So I'm very excited. Our White Claw rep works with, you know, a handful of different reps. She like reps for a different couple of different brands. We got JJ Taylor really helping to set us up. Hey guys, what's going on? Oh, look, we got the band here.
There they are.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Bill.
We were just talking about your show.
So, Katie, one last question. I want to talk to these guys for a sec.
Okay.
Your platforms, like you're on, what, 30 different? How does that – where do people find CTSP Live?
We broadcast from our page every night, but then we also choose – I've got the support of – you know, Janice's socials, Flirting Social Club socials, Ruby's Elixir socials. Also, No Clubs has helped significantly. Like, I love Tony. I love Kristen. They've been really, really engaged and helpful. Any of those pages, a lot of times Tampa Sessions, Joe is amazing. I mean, he was the mastermind. He doesn't charge either. And he's way better than me.
He'll be next, yeah.
Joe's great. I love Joe. I mean, honestly, I called Joe in the very beginning, like, I don't know what I'm doing. And he was, you know, they were having a baby. So it's like, he wasn't really in a position to be able to do this right now. So he was like, listen, if I can help you, cause I can't help everyone right now, like I want to help. And I was just like, you're the best guy ever. So, I cross post, I would call him in panic mode. Like, I don't know how to do this. And he would explain it to me. And then I'd be like, I still don't know. But it helped a lot because, you know, I cross post a lot of our streams to their pages. And then we also cross post to the artist pages. So the broadcast actually typically goes to like, say, 8 different pages, which is pretty cool. You know, sometimes 10 different pages, but you can always find it on DTSB Live. So,
right. And it's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Facebook, Instagram. I got locked out of my Instagram. How crazy is that? I had my college email set up, and my college email expired. I graduated from my master's like 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. So, like, I just didn't think about it. And then my
time to move on, right?
Well, I might turn my Operation Coexist account into DTSB Live. So we'll see if I can get Facebook or Instagram to ever answer an email, then I'll get that one back live. But yeah, Facebook's like our main one. I'm actually working on the YouTube page. I've been clipping down, you know, some of our favorite and some of the artists' favorite songs because it gives them additional content as well. You know, a lot. It's like they already get the stream, but you know, I give them high res photos. I try to cut, you know, go back and edit and cut down at least 2 or 3 videos per artist so that they can have like additional, you know, video sources to send that aren't, you know, just a full hour. I've been building those. I think we're going to eventually move to Twitch. I don't know what the rules are on branding and sponsorships. So, you know, my goal is to have sponsors at least 4 or 5 days out of the week. Probably leaning more in the direction of the bigger brands and the liquor and beer companies. So
no end in sight though. I mean, obviously, know anything I don't know. So
by the time that I even get my jobs back, I'll already have another one because it's like I can't not work for half a year. I mean, I have you've seen my house. I can't afford to live here and like feed my 3 dogs.
Hey, so speaking of your house, give us a little tour. I'd like to see. Yeah, I don't know what room you're in. I want to see the living room and I want to see the studio.
This is true organic fashion here. So
yeah.
Let's see here. So this room's usually actually a lot busier. So I've got my little monitor there. This is all White Claw brand stuff. I've got brand swag for days all over the place. This is where they usually sit.
Yeah.
You know, typically my camera's over here. That's where they watch and monitor the comments.
No, that's right. I've been in that room. I remember watching. It was Ella Jett was there that night.
Yeah, this is where my mixer typically stands, but... and this is where my router boxes run. This is like becomes gear room. This was a guest room, but since I don't have guests, now it's just everything from my living room. It became gear room.
It looks like a musician's house.
Yeah. And then out here, this is where we put the bands. There's Nathan. So we just have the backdrop stands that'll throw the backdrops all the way around here. They actually run all the way around this side of the kitchen as well. The couch, we have to move. The couch will be over there. I just have to use these boys' strong arms to help. Then I'll set up all my lights and the camera sits kind of here and then the bands sit back here. So, and then I have my kitchen has turned into, you know, my mixing console, and you know,
I imagine that's how a lot of the really coolest studios started anyway.
These are all my this is all just different gear from that was once in the living room, or you know, and now I have to find places, and then this is courtesy of White Claw, so the bands are taken care of with the drinks.
I saw well-stocked bar there, always.
Oh, this is, yes, actually, I do need to be sure to include this. So this is all St. Pete Distillery products.
Oh, yeah, right.
So I've got, like, Old St. Pete, Banyan. They also have Oak and Palm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I have a, they all have kept me very well-stocked for that.
Well, there's that, I guess. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that's definitely
anybody want to give us a song? We've got 5 minutes left, and
I don't know if they'd have to fully set up, but this is Nathan, so he's lead singer for the band.
What's up, man?
Hey, man, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Tell me Holly Glenn's your band. Tell me about the band.
Holly Glenn. So it's actually named after the road that well, I used to live with one of the other guys, but that he still lives on. Just couldn't think of a cool band name. But I lived in North Carolina for most of my life, and then the guitar player moved here about 5 years ago, and I about last year I came here and started playing some music together and made something about it.
What kind of stuff do you guys do?
It's like alternative rock, pop punk-ish, something in that realm.
It's my lane. Totally my lane. This is one of the bands that's actually like very much my lane, so I'm really excited about it.
Oh, very cool. Have you guys worked with Katie before? Or
we're meeting on this camera right now.
Yeah.
We've been talking for like probably 6 months or so.
Yeah.
And we have family, mutual friends, and all kinds of friends, mutual friends. But this is our actual first official.
Yeah.
Hello. So, how's it been for you guys as far as like COVID time? I mean, there's no gigs.
No gig, and I'm a bartender, so no work either.
We got nothing, Bill.
Florida's been really bad about catching people up, but stuff like that. But I just had a kid, so in disguise, it's kind of a nice thing. So I've been able to stay at home with the little guy. But I didn't have a kid. My girlfriend had a kid.
Well, I actually. Yeah. Lord. You guys go live today. We're recording this, but it's going to stream at 7. Is that the same time that you're...
We're going live at 8 o'clock. That's why I figured this would be good.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. So everybody who's watching this...
Pre-show promo.
Everybody who's watching this, it's going to wind down around 7:30. So what you got to do is like hightail it over to DTSP and watch Holly Glenn.
Heck yeah.
I'm all about it. Woo!
You guys have drums too? Are you putting a drum kit in there?
They got the whole thing coming in. You're like, that's what I'm going to go do now is we're going to move. I'm going to have them move my couch, which you guys can actually do now if you want. And then I'm going to set up all the backdrop stands, and I'm going to turn studio room into living room, and then living room back into studio room tonight still. So
don't you ever get tired of this? I mean,
all the time. I'm tired all the time.
It's like, oh, I gotta move the couch. Oh, I gotta put these cables in again. Oh, jeez.
It's a lot. I think if I could ever afford a space, I would afford a space. But, you know, that's just not in the cards right now. So, no, this is just how it goes. This is what it is. This is what it's like to be a musician and to start a new project in the middle of a pandemic. So, gotta get creative.
Well, hey, man, I thank you so much for being on here today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me. You can come back anytime. I know you've been here, so
always a pleasure to talk. I think the next one we do, Katie, you and me, is I'll come over and I'll broadcast while you're broadcasting.
Let's do it. I'd love that. That would be perfect. Then I'll actually
talk to the artist. Little cross promotion, a little cross stream promotion. What do you think?
I love that. And I'll be set up, I promise, next time.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Katie Talbert, absolute pleasure. Please, everybody, check out DTSP Live, Saved by Streaming. Support live local music, because that is what this wonderful woman is doing. Katie, thank you again.
Thank you, Bill.
We'll see you real soon, and all the best, everybody, tonight. We'll be watching at 8.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
From stpetecatalyst.com.